As we approach the third wave of COVID-19, in combination with flu season and the holiday season, it's becoming increasingly important to remind listeners to take necessary health and safety precautions to prevent the spread of this virus. Our guest today is Marvita Mason, a COVID-19 survivor and Gaston County resident. She is here to tell us her incredible story and serve as an important reminder of how dangerous this virus can be.
Great. Thank you so much, Janet. We've got a great guest today. Marvita Mason, who's a longtime Gaston County resident and who's told us that she's willing to share her story and her long battle fighting COVID-19, and was actually probably one of the first people in Gaston County to contract this very deadly disease. And we've also got from our staff here at Gaston County, Terry Ellerby, who's going to help us with the interview. Terry's good friends with Marvita and was able to help get this interview set up. So Terry, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today. And Marvita, let's start with you and just get a little bit of background as to how long you've lived in Gaston County and just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Okay. My name is Marvita Mason. I'm originally from Louisville, North Carolina. Moved to Gastonia, North Carolina after marrying my husband, James Mason. And we have two daughters and two grandchildren.
So you're born and raised in Gaston County?
Yes, I was. Yes, born and raised here in Gaston County.
So my understanding is that you're officially recovered as of this week. Is that correct?
I am officially mostly recovered. Yes. And I'm having some problems with the breathing, you know, going up the stairs and stuff. And I guess my lungs took a beating is what they said, you know. I'm really lucky to be here because I can tell you how I started. I was running a really high fever, but at first I just didn't feel good, just didn't feel myself. And I told my husband, I said, I don't feel well. I don't know what's wrong with me, but sleep in the guest bedroom. So he did, and he would bring me food in to eat, and I could not eat it. Nothing tasted right, not knowing that I had lost my sense of taste and smell. So I refused everything he brought in. And I was so sick with the fever until it had me calling people and texting people that I didn't know I was doing. And I was asking them to bring me food over. I didn't remember doing that. And I was telling one lady how sick I was. And I had a little trace of running to the bathroom, you know. And honestly, did not remember ever doing it. And I went to the doctor like the second day after being sick, and they wouldn't let me in the office. They checked me in the parking lot for strep. And they said the test came back positive. And I said, I've had strep before. This is not strep throat. And they said, well, I said, can I get swabbed for the virus? And they said, no, we don't have enough tests. I said, okay. So I came home, and the next day, my husband took me to the ER, and they had the thing set up outside. So they swabbed me and said, we'll let you know something in 5 days. Well, the second day, I called my doctor and said, I have to have some medicine for this fever. And the nurse said, well, we'll call you in something else. So this is my second prescription my husband went for. And I was taking that medicine. So the second day I said to him, I said, I am sick. Please take me back to the ER. So the third day, I think it was, after being really ill, he took me back to the emergency room. They remembered me from being swabbed, and they swabbed me again and said, told him that he had to wait in the parking lot. But he went in and waited in the waiting area. So when they took me back, they said, we're going to keep you. And they went out and told him they were going to keep me. And they were sticking me with needles and stuff. And finally got me up to post-intensive care. And they came out and told him that I would definitely have to stay. I had double pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
But my back hurt really, really bad. And I didn't know why. And that's why, because I had double pneumonia. So I guess about the third or fourth day in the hospital, the doctor came in and said, you have COVID. And I said, I knew it had to be something as sick as I am. So, of course, I had IVs going in both arms. And some of the time I knew what was going on, half the time I didn't. I was getting like 3 shots a day in my stomach. And I didn't realize that until it was about time for me to come home. And I was saying, you've already done this. And she said, well, you get 3 a day. And I was like, okay. But, and that was to keep the blood clots from forming, you know. During my stay in the hospital, they took care of me really well there. But while I was there, it's about the fifth day or so. I can't remember which day it happened. But my daughter called me and was wanting to tell me something, and I listened to her. Could barely pick up my phone, and then all of a sudden I see six or so people standing around my baby. Oh, Jesus. And they said, Ms. Mason? And I said, yes. They said, can you hear us? And I said, yes. And they said, well, we got to put you on the ventilator. And I said, for real? And they said, yes. And I said, no. And they said, yes. And I said, do you have to? And they said, well, it's a matter of life or death. And I said, I got to call. And they said, we've already called. I didn't know at the time he meant that they had called my family in. So they had called my husband and my girls to let them know that I was not going to make it.
Oh, my goodness.
So my daughter, they didn't tell me this, and I didn't know what was going on. That's how sick this thing had me. So he came up that night, and I looked up, and I could barely see him, and he was telling me that he was there, and he never told me goodbye. He just sat in the chair, and he had gotten a couple of ministers to pray with me, and he spent the night with me that night, and when he left, I didn't even know he'd left, and he, you know, the next morning, he left to come home, and they told him to go in quarantine for 14 days. So, with all these IVs hooked up to both arms, and they had on something that looked like boxing gloves, but I do remember before they put me on there, I just said, Jesus, I'm in your hands. And they said, what did you say? And I said, go ahead. And they started putting this thing on me, and I was trying my best to not have them do it because it was really uncomfortable.
Right.
So, and I heard them say, I got her now. So they were putting some medicine in me to calm me down. Now, once I got it on, I couldn't do nothing but lay down. I honestly don't know how many days I had it on me. I thought it was like a day and a half. And somebody said, no, you were on at least 3 days. So,
wow.
But when I came out, my doctor, my infectious disease doctor, told me that he was so happy to see me. He said, I am so happy to see you. And I said, I'm happy to see you too. And he introduced himself to me. And he said, you are a true miracle. He said, you're the first one to come off the ventilator in such a short period of time. And I said, well, that's good. And he said, another thing I want to tell you. He said, you actually died and came back.
Wow.
And all I could do was lay down and look at him, and I could see lights. Like, you know, he was like an angel, you know, because he was one of those that helped me come through this. And later on, one of the other doctors came. And he was saying the same thing, you know, how happy he was to see me, and he was going to be off by the time I get discharged to come home. I was in the hospital 15 days in post-intensive care.
Goodness.
And I didn't know if I would make it or not. And it really, it didn't even cross my mind, you know, you're going to die. But I was so sick, I guess I just didn't care. You know, it's just that I was sick. So.
Well, and at that point, you're just you're fighting.
I did care because I knew I had a family that I had to come back to that I wanted to be with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a struggle. And for those that don't believe, I don't understand it. I mean, they're playing this thing off as like it's nothing but, you know, a joke, you know. We're going to go out here with no mask and no gloves and no, you know, no sanitizer and not watching it. But I'm out there. I have my gloves. I have my sanitizer.
Sure.
I have my mask everywhere I go.
Marvita, this is Terry. Ed never contracted anything, did he?
He did not. And it's all because he stayed in the other room. And this is another thing. They said people with underlying conditions. I have high cholesterol. My doctors can tell you that is the only thing that was wrong with me. Nothing else. Nothing else. I'm really a healthy person.
Were you able to determine or even have any idea kind of where you might have picked up COVID from, or is that kind of a mystery?
Not really, but I, for some reason, thinking back and tracing my steps back, I remember being in a nail salon, and the guy that was doing my nails continued to cough constantly, and in the back of my head, I was thinking, when you finish, I gotta wash my hands, and I did, but I guess I had already had it by then, but that's the only thing. And I had gone to the grocery store a couple of days before, but that was it. And I am very clean because I have a young grandchild, and I was always washing down the carts and carrying in wipes when I go with him because I didn't want him to get sick, even before this COVID came up.
Right.
Marvita, I remember you said you were having Ed take you to the dollar store somewhere trying to do those things before you really...
Oh, yeah. I would always go there and get the wipes and sanitizer before, you know, just so that I could keep things wiped down because I had a young child. You got, you know, if you put them in a shopping cart, you got to wash it down first. So.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was real clean with that. And even with myself, I was wiping things off. But it was just... mystery how this disease just got me like it did.
Well, how are you feeling now that they've gotten your oxygen tanks and all of that? How are you feeling now?
You know, I was up with, this is another thing. When I came home, they did physical therapy in the hospital to help me learn how to walk again and to see how far I could go without the oxygen. I was on the oxygen about 2 months after I came home. Sleeping with it, and anywhere in the house that I went, I had physical therapy, occupational therapy for at least 2 months after I came home. They sent me home with an oxygen tank, an inhaler, and a walker. And I had to use it for that length of time until I could wean myself off of it. Just last Monday, I think, they came and picked up the oxygen tank. And they had me to do a sleep study and found out that my breathing at night was like in the 80s, and that I have to have a CPAP now.
Okay.
I never had any problems with any of this. And never had problems coming up the stairs and having to sit down once I get up here. So, and mentally, I'm okay, except for, I guess I've been back in my bedroom for about 3 weeks now. Because every time I walked up here, I was thinking, I almost died in that room. It got me, you know. It was one of those things that stuck with me. This is where you almost lost your life. I mean, I was struggling to get out of the bed to make it to the bathroom. I would have to hold on to things because I didn't want him to come in here and try to help me to get to the bathroom. But... second time when I told me to have to take me to the ER, he got up, got dressed, and I was in here trying to get my clothes on, and went to the ER. And the thing about it is, you know, once you get there, you never know what they're going to do.
Right.
But because there was no cure for this. Yes, I had a hard time, very hard time. I wish it on nobody. I just hope and pray that soon there's something to cure this disease or this virus.
You talked about when you were in the hospital, the doctors, calling your family, after you were able to talk with them, I mean, how has that kind of shaped your family, like having this experience? I mean, is it brought you closer together as a family? Is it?
Oh, we're a really tight-knit family anyway.
Sure.
But the whole time I was in there, the rest of my family would set up prayer I think it was twice a week, they would do a conference call and have prayer. Mm. And for the longest, I didn't know this while in the hospital, but once
sure.
I was able to listen in from the hospital, I would, you know, call in too so that they could pray with me. But yes, we are a close family.
So this was a months-long battle for you, even once you were out of the hospital coming home.
And... Oh, yes.
Overall, Marvita, how long was this for you from beginning to end, you think?
Okay, March, let's see, 15, I'm saying over, that was in March, and I'm thinking it was around the 16th of March
mm-hmm.
when I started feeling kind of different. And then, like I said, I just got rid of the oxygen tank last week.
Wow.
Quite a while, Marvita, quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was one of those that were blessed to come through this, but there's a lot of people that I know that are not strong as I was to survive it. And people still walk around with no mask. I'll have mine on until they find a cure.
Are there other people that you've come in contact with, either friends or family or acquaintances, that perhaps at the beginning of this didn't take this as seriously, and since they've seen your struggle and seen maybe heard your story, are taking it differently?
Yes, I've had a lot of people say they didn't know it was that bad, or, you know, I'm the only one that they've known to have it, and I've had two or three friends that has had it, but they didn't have it anything like I did.
Sure.
It was a couple of my neighbors.
Marvita, what would you like listeners to know about this virus and your experience?
The virus is very serious, and it is a deadly, deadly virus if you're not healthy enough. And like I said, I was one of the healthy people that got it. And people are like really shocked that I made it, you know, because I was really sick. And those that don't take it serious, they need to know that it's no joke. It's not a political thing. It's a deadly virus. And people shouldn't let their guard down. They need to keep the mask on, keep the wipes with them, the sanitizer, anything else they can do to guard themselves against it. You know, they say that you can't get it again. I don't know this for sure.
Sure.
But I don't want it again, so that's why I'm still wiping and keeping things sanitized like I do. And, I mean, I've got a lot of stuff to keep my house sprayed and everything. And like I said, I was to the point where I was afraid to come back in my bedroom. My husband had to paint my room over for me. I'm serious, because I was just like... And when I came in, he could tell you I was standing in here crying. And he said, what's the matter? We can sleep in another room. I said, no. I said, I got to get used to coming in here. Because psychologically, I was like, this is where I almost died, you know?
Yeah.
This room is where I really almost died. Oh, oh my goodness.
Are there things that you're looking forward to now that you've, I wouldn't say necessarily like fully recovered, but you're definitely coming out now on the other side of this and have made great progress.
Being with my family and celebrating holidays like I normally do, because all my family usually comes to my house for the holidays. And I'm looking forward to them getting this cure so that we can get back in church, because I miss going to church. I miss my church family.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends, you know, that really checked on me and brought me in food and sent me cards and stuff to let me know they really cared. And I had a lot of prayers from a lot of different churches, you know, and people let me know, you know, we pray for you. People in other countries even, you know, that had friends there.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, that's the only way I made it through this. because I've never in my life been this sick. I've had the flu before. This was nothing like the flu.
It sounds like you have a lot of support through family, your church, your friends. Is there anyone specific that you want to thank while you have this opportunity?
My husband and my church family and my husband's church family for their prayers and support. I couldn't have made it without all the prayers that came through for me. And people still call checking on me. How's it going? You know, are you okay now? And I'm doing so much better. So much better than those that I know that are struggling with this thing now.
We really appreciate you taking the time. Obviously on this end, we could tell how difficult it was kind of reliving some of this and talking through this with us. But we think it'll really be important for folks that maybe aren't taking this as seriously to hear from somebody like yourself that's gone really right up to the brink with this. And I can't tell you how happy I am that you've made it through and you've come through on the other side of this.
Thank you.